Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, are you ready for a fun night? All right, I'm telling you, tonight is one of my very favorite things we do as a church. If you've been here for a little while, you would have seen this before, but about once a quarter, a couple of times a year, we take a moment to give the microphone to some of our amazing leaders. For those of you that don't know, C3 is passionate about raising up new leaders. You might have gone to other churches where you might have only ever seen one passed up in the microphone. And we really feel as a church, it's actually our job to make sure that you guys are hearing lots of voices, lots of stories about what God's doing. You know, honestly, if it was just hearing from me, you know, you would probably not last that long. But I love that we have so many different pastors coming in that are speaking truth and speaking wisdom, because I'm telling you, we've all got something to contribute. And these three people tonight that are speaking, I'm telling you, I am excited, I'm expectant, I'm getting ready. It's going to be phenomenal. This is how it's going to work. We're going to give each of them 10 minutes to come up here, and they are going to just share a thought or a revelation God has given them. And I tell you, they're going to be speaking, but I'm telling you what we're going to be doing. We're going to be cheering them on. We're going to be taking notes. We're going to be getting excited. We're going to make it so good up here that they'll want to get back up here again. So the first speaker we have tonight, I'm just going to introduce them all and then they're going to come up, is the incredible Tyler Matthews. Give him a clap. He deserves the cheers. Him and his beautiful wife, Ashley, and they have a 4-year-old son named Caleb. I'm telling you, I mean this with all sincerity, it has been a joy and a delight watching your journey in this church. You guys have gone from strength to strength, and you know, not many people know their story. They're dealing with some stuff, and I love that, you know, despite what you're going through, you don't let circumstances dictate. You're here on a Sunday with a smile on your face, with your hands lifted to heaven, and I so appreciate that. So we're so excited. Oversees our altar call team at the 10 a.m., so get ready for Tyler. He's going to be amazing. And then second, we've got the rose between the thorns, the amazing, incomparable Vanessa Lee. Yes, you should be cheering. She is phenomenal. She is our overseas with her very handsome Studley. You're recording this picture. You want to play it back, right? Super attractive, really buff husband, Matthew Lee. Him and his wife oversee a great connect group, which I'm pretty sure half of our church goes to, and they oversee connect groups at large. But honestly, we say this all the time. They really are the heart of South Campus. South Campus pretty much started in their home almost 3 years ago. And it's, again, just been such a joy to do life and build kingdom with you. So Vanessa, can't wait to hear all the revelation God has given you to download tonight. And then last but definitely not least, we have Captain Dominic Jones gonna bring it home. Dominic is a commander in our Navy and our JAG. He's a lawyer, but more than that, he is an incredible husband, an amazing father. He oversees our usher team here at South Campus, and I'm telling you, anyone that's met Dominic leaves different. He is a man that communicates the things of God quite unlike anyone I've ever seen before. So I'm telling you, you're excited, church? Are you ready to hear it? So let's get to our feet as we welcome Tyler, our first speaker tonight. Let's get loud, let's get excited, and give it up for Tyler Matthews!
I said, can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me when I'm not too hot and too hype, you're just good.
That was not on the run sheet. Thank you for that. Yikes. Apologies. That was pretty bad. Good evening. How are you? 5 p.m. Gosh, this is so exciting. I got through the first hiccup of saying good morning about 10 times when I tried to rehearse this. So good evening. I am so honored to be here with you guys today. It is just such a tremendous amount of trust that's put up here, and I do not take it lightly. So Pastor Emma, thank you so much. Pastor Drew, if you hear this eventually, thank you, thank you. They are just truth speakers to my wife and I. They have pushed us so much in the right way just to kind of get us out of the comfort zone of where we wanted to be when we started coming to South. And I just had, you know, this is actually kind of a revelation, not just in the last day or so. This is something that I've experienced in 2017. So it's not over. We kind of had that little talk in our altar call meeting. There's still 4 weeks left of December, so this lot can still happen. But let me just kind of dive in quickly. So I'm going to be vulnerable, and I know people kind of start some of their messages that way, but I'm going to tell some kind of embarrassing stuff. And it first starts with a little bit of an Emma story, but the embarrassment is on me. So about 2 years ago, kind of near the launch of C3 South at the movie theaters, my wife and I start coming to C3 South. And we're having this conversation with Pastor Drew and Pastor Emma, and it's very lighthearted. And all of a sudden, Emma, like, catches my eyes, and she's staring into my soul, right? I don't know if anyone's ever had her do that to you. And she just kind of, like, kind of blurts out more or less. She says, "You're going to be on altar call team." I was like, wait, whoa, she doesn't even know me, you know? And I start to give this long kind of just kind of gross just like excuse of like, you know, I got a lot to figure out. That really seems like a big role. And you know, I'm not sure if I'm quite ready for that. And I just kind of start listing all these excuses, right? And verbatim, her response to me, I just laid it all out. Like she kind of knows, like I'm totally not qualified for that. She says, ready? "Ooh, gross. That's so churchy." Okay, yeah, no joke. "Ooh, gross, that's so churchy." And I'm like, "Ooh, what did she not just hear me?" And I slowly started to kind of come to realize that she was speaking about a little bit of a spirit of religion that I had. You see, I kind of thought that what would qualify me would be the things that I would do, maybe my perfection, right? Maybe one day I would get to that point, but right now, if you only knew, right? If I was on the altar call team, I mean, I need a miracle in my own life, right? Like, how could I pray for other people's miracles? Like, it seems like such a fraud, right? Like if they only knew was kind of what I kept kind of going over. And so I was kind of arguing with her on that and kind of telling her no. And then if you know Pastor Emma, you also know that this part's true. 1 week later, I'm on altar call team. Okay? So like, you guys just save yourself the excuses. And so now I'm on altar call team, right? So I'm like, okay, clearly I'm qualified. I'm on the team. But I still have these reservations, you guys. I still have these voices in my head. I still remember thinking, I'm sick. Like, I'm sick this week. Like, I'd be there. I'd show up, and I'd be like, I shouldn't pray with somebody. Like, I'm going to get them sick. Like, yikes, I better, like, go to the car. You know, I never did it. But I started thinking, like, no, you can't. Like, and that was just excuses, because I still felt almost like a fraud, because I had this spirit of religion that felt like I got to get everything right before I could ever be used that way to glorify God for the church. And I would even, and I know no one's ever done this either, but during the 9:22 prayer, I would kind of like position myself behind somebody so that I wouldn't get picked to pray, right? No one's ever done that, right? You know, like you find somebody and you just like, you kind of keep moving with the speaker, like, oh, and then they're like, oh, Tyler. And you're like, oh, you know, and because I felt like a fraud. But I want to kind of just kind of tell you and talk about what did Pastor Emma see in me, right? What does maybe a My City leader see in you guys, right? When they ask you to step up, right? When they say, hey, can you go grab that kid before he runs out the door? Like, can you be the one? Right? So, and that might be a different spiritual head in your life. It might be somebody at work that you look up to. It might be a pastor here. It might be your connect group leader. And you might ask, what in the world do they see in me that makes me qualified? And I'm so glad you asked that. So I have a scripture for it. So let's look at what the Word of God has to say. Colossians 1, 11 through 14, and it's actually New Living Translation I'm going to read out of. It says, "We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father." Okay, we could stop right there, and that's good enough, but who knows? He usually keeps going with some better stuff here. So he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. You guys, the takeaway there is he has enabled you to share in the inheritance. There's a lot of translations of the Bible, and there's several that replace the word enabled with qualified. He has qualified us. And so then I have to go a step deeper. I have to say, okay, if the Word of God says that I'm qualified, how am I qualified? How am I qualified to experience these blessings of God or to walk freely in his peace, maybe to not have that guilt and condemnation? I know that you know, time of communion for me used to be just time of complete guilt and shame. I spoke on that weeks ago, and for me, I never took that next step into freedom. I never took that next step into celebrating really what was done on that cross. And then what makes us qualified to have that peace or to break chains, conquer mountains, or experience healing, to have prosperity on this earth? Maybe that's in your marketplace. Maybe that's in your business. I don't know how you can relate that to, but how are we qualified? And really what this is saying is it's through Jesus. He's qualified us. That qualification only comes through righteousness. Now, like the quick Christian Wikipedia phrase for righteousness is right standing with God. And that can't happen any other way than through Jesus. There is only one way to experience that, and it's through your eternity with Christ, is accepting him and what he did on that cross. And I think that is so cool. Like the three little, like it's just this little chain. It's Jesus is our righteousness, and that's what makes us qualified. You know, there's going to be some horrible Christmas infomercials this season that we're going to see. We're going to see horrible products advertised, and we're going to see, you know, like spam cookers and upside down Christmas trees. I don't even know why upside down. But the one thing they're all going to have in common at the end, right, every infomercial, it's like, but wait, call within the net, you know, right? Like they always do this last little hook, and it's usually like, not valid in Arizona, California, Nevada, Nebraska, North America, planet. And then you're like, wait, what are they even, like, I don't even know what I'm getting now. But the thing about righteousness, you guys, is it comes as a freebie. Pastor Emma spoke this morning about the fruits of the Spirit, how the fruits of the Spirit, they're an automatic part of our salvation when we accept Christ. There's nothing you can do. There's no amount of money you can give. There's no acts of good service that you can do over and over. You could live your whole life if you don't have a relationship with Christ. It's nothing. And so some of you know what that's like, and you have that peace, and that's awesome. And some of you are going to have that opportunity today to experience what I'm talking about and to get that qualification through Christ. I want to just kind of close in prayer, and hopefully you kind of have that takeaway that I did. God, I thank you so much, Lord, that your grace, God, that what you did on that cross, Lord, is our righteousness. Jesus, you are our righteousness, God. I thank you that alone qualifies us to do so much, God, to have such peace, God, to step into roles, Lord, that we never dreamed we could step into, God. Lord, I thank you that we can dominate our marketplace, God, that we can win Chula Vista for you, God, that we can take over South Bay, God. Lord, I just thank you for a sweeping of the Holy Spirit in this land, God. I thank you that we are called, Lord, and that through what you did on that cross, Lord, we are made righteous, God, and that qualifies us enough, God. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, as you heard, we have the incredible opportunity to listen to the queen of the Lee tribe, Vanessa Lee.
That was a great word, Tyler. I love you and your wife, Ashley, and little Caleb. So cute. So I'm just loving Christmas. Are you guys loving Christmas? I'm obsessed with Christmas. I say that about every holiday, but seriously, Christmas, like, wow, right? That tree out there, Tony cut it himself. And I want to say, like, maybe you shouldn't cut the stash because I'm feeling like it's a Delilah and Samson thing. Like, that's where his power is. It's like the secret to his power, right? But anyway, I love so many things about Christmas. And by the way, Pastor Drew and Emma, thanks for trusting me with the microphone. She has no idea what's going to come out of my mouth, so thank you. One of the things I really love about Christmas is Hallmark movies. So any Hallmark movie fans? Okay, so I used to judge Hallmark movie lovers. I would be like, really? They are so shallow. I mean, the plot lines, right? It's like, girl needs a date to a wedding, so she asks some guy to go with her, and they have to pretend like they like each other, and well, what do you know? They end up falling in love. Who'd have thought, right? Or City Girl. Gets stuck in the middle of nowhere, little town somewhere. They're always really cute Christmas towns. And if you know, if they really exist, please tell me where they are because I want to go. So City Girl and ruggedly handsome Eddie Bauer catalog type guy, right? Rescues her, I don't know, fixes her car or something. And Pretty soon she realizes that she actually really likes the simple life, and they fall in love and they stay in tiny Christmas town for the rest of their lives, and it's decorated in Christmas garlands all year long. So like I said, I'm actually a recent addict to Hallmark movies. I only started watching them last year. So this is my second year, right? I'm gathering the whole family. I'm like, let's watch Hallmark movies. Thankfully, my kids love them. My husband does too. So guys, it's okay to love those Hallmark movies. Anyway, one of the things I'm realizing is that there's a lot of reruns. Like, I saw some of them last year, and I don't know about you, but I kind of hate reruns. I hate to watch movies twice, and I don't meet very many people like that. Honestly, most people like to watch movies again, and I'm like, why? I already saw it. I already know what's going to happen. But people like to watch them again, and I've yet to find someone who hates reruns like I do. And there's people that hate reruns. Thank you. But yet, everyone I talk to says that they don't like people who spoil the movie, right? So I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense, because if you already saw it, isn't that the epitome of a spoiler alert, right? So, okay, as I'm thinking about my aversion to movies, I start thinking about God and wondering, like, I wonder if God feels the way I do about reruns, about our life. Like, are we living a life of a rerun, right? Like, so what I really felt the Holy Spirit telling me when I was preparing for this message is that He wants to do something new. He wants to do a new thing in your life. So verse 19 says, last time I came up here, I brought this ginormous Bible and fumbled around. So this time I thought I'd do this. So Isaiah 43:19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I like that he says, do you not perceive it? Will you recognize it? Will you be able to identify it? Will you step into it? Or will you live a life of reruns? Wondering why life isn't everything you dreamed it would be. But did you know God wants to give you the desires of your heart? Like Psalm 37 says. Anyway, Ephesians 4:22, if we could go there. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And what I love about this is he says to put off and to put on. So we can literally like put stuff on, right? We have old mindsets and stinking thinking and things that we're just stuck in, right? And you know it. You're driving and you're like, God, I need to work on that. And year after year, you find yourself in the same place. Guys, you don't just show up to work in a tutu and a tiara, right? No, you put on what you chose to wear that day. Sunday mornings, my house is a mess. My room, actually, my closet, because I put stuff on and I take stuff off, and eventually I come to church and I'm wearing what I put on, right? And so it's very much like that. God wants to do a new thing, but you have to choose to put off your former self. Maybe God wants to do something new in your finances, but you keep putting your stingy old self on. You can't live off of 90 and trust God with 10%. Or you go to dinner or lunch and you're never the guy that pulls your wallet out. And I get it. Sometimes we're in a tough spot then. But then decide, you know what, I'm gonna buy coffee then, right? Or invite someone over for dinner and say, hey, come over for some chili beans. And literally you're just eating chili and beans. Like no meat, right? But that's okay. That's okay. Be generous. And just like you decided what shoes to wear today, just decide in your heart, today, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to live a generous life. Maybe you're stuck in sin. You know, God has given us freedom from sin. Don't pick that up. Don't put that back on. Now, I know none of us are perfect. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, some of you are sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It's like, stop. Stop. Stop it. Maybe you're smoking pot. Maybe you need to get some friends that'll hold you to a higher standard. And I'm not saying get rid of everybody in your life, but what I am saying is that you are to be the influencer, not the influenced. All right, so I mean, I've got 10 minutes. There's a lot of new things that God may be wanting to do in you, but maybe God wants to do a new thing in your marriage. And this is kind of where I found myself not too long ago. I had a little bit of an anger issue as a wife. Sometimes you get a little pent-up frustration. I don't know. I sent husband over to the grocery store, and he brings home the wrong thing for the 500th time. Or not the thing I asked for at all. Comes with a bunch of snacks and everything, but not what I asked for. And so the lawyer comes out in me, puts husband on trial for ruining dinner, and is convicted of another ruined dinner, right? So I just would get set off, like, really quickly, like, for anything, right? So he started to say, Manny, you're always mad at me. You're mad at me all the time. And of course I would say, well, I wouldn't be mad if you didn't give me a reason to be mad at you. That was my response. And you guys, I mean, okay, so maybe I was right. I mean, studies show that women are right 99.9% of the time. I'm just kidding. I made that up. So if you took notes on that, just scratch that. It's not true. But I think it's true. And but all the while, my kids are resenting me. So I may be right, but is that how I want my kids to feel about me? So meanwhile, I'm praying for a great marriage. Lord, thank you for good marriage. And God was willing, but I kept excusing my behavior. And so finally, one day, I made a decision. I said, you know what, God, he's right. I do get angry really easily, and it's little things, so I was getting, like, level 10 angry for, like, dumb stuff. So I'm like, God, I don't want to be like that. And so I made a decision in my heart. I'm not going to be like that anymore. And then I asked God to help me. I said, Lord, help me in this decision. And he did. You know, when I was praying and asking God to help me, I was reminded when I was a little girl sitting in the back seat of my parents' car, and watching my mother berate my dad. And I remember sitting in the back thinking, well, I couldn't say anything because I was trying to honor my parents, but I remember thinking, I will never do that, or I will never be like that. And I had great parents, but there were things that I had said I didn't want to be like, and here I found myself. I was my mother. And so there were things that she didn't break off of her life that had now carried over into my life. And one of the things God was showing me was that if I didn't break it off my life, my daughter would have to break it off of her life because she's watching me and I'm modeling what marriage looks like to her. And if she then subsequently doesn't cut it off of her life, then her daughters will have to cut it off of their life. And so I thought, I need to break this off of my life because I don't know about you, but I want to set my kids up for a successful life, successful relationships, successful marriages. So we need to put off the former things, and I needed God to do a new thing in me. But I had to make that decision. And so with 10 minutes only, I can't cover everything. But you know what that is, that thing that the Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart. Let him do a new thing. As we come to the end of 2017, don't take it into 2018. I'm believing today that many of you will make that decision today and that God will do a new thing. Amen. And I can't wait to hear for those testimonies. So, Dominic, tag team, close this up.
Wow. Wow. How awesome was that? Wow. Talk about a new thing. Wow, okay. I'm gonna try and get this started here. So first, let me always give honor where honor is due to our senior pastors, Pastor Juergen, Pastor Leanne. Thank you for everything that they have done. It's because of them that we are here. And thank you for the most amazing campus pastors, Pastor Drew, Pastor Emma. We love you guys so much. So be recognizing that I am now down to 9 minutes and 32 seconds. I'm just gonna go ahead and get started. So first, I'd like to invite everybody to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, which reads as follows. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Using this scripture as a text, the title of my message is A Victor of Circumstance. I like that. A victor of circumstance. Let's pray. Heavenly Fathers, to you I give all honor, glory, and praise. I thank you for this privilege and honor and opportunity to speak to your people. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto your sight. I ask that you speak to me, through me, and for me, that this message is a word in season for everybody here. In Jesus' name, amen. So rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, when Paul wrote these words, he was writing these words in a letter to the church in Thessalonica. Now, at the time, the church was undergoing great persecution. They were being harassed. They were being oppressed. They were being mistreated. They were being abused. They were being falsely accused of violating Caesar's decrees. They were being dragged in the court. They were being arrested. They were being thrown into jail. And all of this was happening because they put their faith in that man, Jesus. All this was happening because they were Christians. Now, Paul, when he was drafting this letter, he was not oblivious to their suffering. In fact, he was very much aware of everything that they were going through. But yet, with full knowledge of their circumstances, he says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Now, we've all had Greek or Latin. We all know that all in the Greek means all, right? So when he says all, he doesn't mean some. He doesn't mean most. He doesn't mean when things are going your way. He doesn't mean when you feel like it. He means all. So that means the valleys and the mountains, the highs and the lows, the good times and the bad, the sunshine and the rain, all things, right? Now, I can imagine that the church at that time, when they're receiving this, some of them, maybe like some of you are now, being like, are you kidding me? Have you seen my circumstances? Right now, I've got more bills than I've got money. Right now, I just lost my job. Right now, my marriage is on the rocks. Right now, I was just diagnosed with cancer. Right now, the people who I call my friends are talking about me behind my back. So in case you haven't noticed, my circumstances suck. So how do you expect me to be thankful at a time like this? Here's why Paul is able to say this. You see, when Paul is drafting this letter, he's fully aware of the circumstances, but what Paul is able to do is he's able to look past the circumstances and see the end game. You see, Paul recognizes that the trials, the tribulations, and the sufferings that they're going through are temporary inconveniences when compared to the eternal reward that awaits the faithful. Paul recognizes that in the end,
you win. In the end, you're victorious. In the end, you're triumphant. But you still have to play the game. And you still have to fight the fight. But in the end, so he knows the end game. So in other words, if I were to put this in a nutshell, he basically recognizes that your status always trumps your circumstances. Now, let me try and give you a real-world example for me. So my father, he's a Vietnam veteran. My father joined the Marine Corps late teens, early 20s. Went to Vietnam. While he was there in combat, he took a 5.56 round to the abdomen that fragmented and blew his pancreas out his back. So from there, he was medevaced back to the States. While he was in the States, he spent a significant amount of time in a VA hospital in Great Lakes, Illinois. The doctor told my wife and said, Mrs. Jones, your husband will be lucky to see 29. My father passed away on May 12th, 2015. Had he seen his birthday on November 8th, he would have been 69, which is 40 years beyond what modern medicine at the time said he was supposed to have. Now, during his life, his health was not a cakewalk. Because he has no pancreas, his body does not produce insulin. So because he does not produce insulin, that means he's a diabetic. And anybody who is either has diabetes or knows someone who has diabetes knows that diabetes complicates everything. But in addition to that, my dad had prostate cancer. Beat it. My dad had a stroke. Beat it. My dad had a heart attack. Beat it. And my dad had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and a chokehold for the better part of 10 years. And when my pops passed away, he did not die from any of those things. Now, I remember there would be some times when I would see my dad, and I'd be like, you know, and it's clear to me that he's not feeling well. And I'd say, Pops, you know, how you doing? And my dad would look at me and say, Son, I'm doing great. How are you? And I got to say that it used to annoy me. It used to get on my nerves. I'd be like, okay, you know something? Yeah, big bad Marine. Oh, you know, big bad Marine, tough guy, you know. Look, okay, look, I understand, you know, you're tough. But it's okay to not feel well. It's okay to say, you know, something, I'm struggling. It's okay to not be okay. Just keep it real with me. So, Pops, how you doing? And my dad would get a little cocky. He'd be like, I said, son, I'm doing great. How are you? And if I pressed him, here's what my dad would do. He would be like, son, let me tell you something. The Lord has blessed me. And if it was not for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. But I can tell you this, he has brought me from a mighty long way, and he has brought me from, and he has not brought me this far to leave me. So because of that, I will give him praise in the good, in the bad. It doesn't matter because he's worthy. That was my dad. And here's what, and it was not until he passed away that I realized that my dad gave me one of the most amazing gifts and lessons of a lifetime. And what that lesson is your circumstances do not dictate your status. They do not dictate your status. You see, my father recognized that because of who he was in Christ, his status always trumped his circumstances. He refused to let his circumstances define him or dictate how much glory, how much honor, how much praise he was going to give to God, because as far as my dad was concerned, he gets it all. My dad decided. He said, I will not be a victim of circumstances. I will be a victor in my circumstances. And because of his faithfulness, I know my dad is enjoying his reward in heaven. I know he is. I remember this every now and then, like when my father passed away, some people would say, Dominic, I'm so sorry you lost your father. My response is, I didn't lose him. I know exactly where he's at. Yeah. I know exactly where he's at. And guess what? He's waiting on me. He's waiting on me in a place where there is no more death, where there is no more suffering, where there is no more pain, there is no more lack, there is no more sorrow, there is no despair. All that is gone, and all there is glory, baby, glory. Yes. So I'm here to tell you that I know that there are some people here who are struggling. I know there are some people here who are going through some things. And I know this because I've talked to some of you. I know some people are struggling. You're going through a tough time. And the devil is trying to tell you, you know something? Your circumstances are bigger than you are. Your circumstances are too great. You are going to take an L on this one. Okay? But here's what I want you to know. Here's why I came here to tell you. That because of who you are in Christ, your status makes you bigger than your circumstances. You need to tell the devil to shut his face, and you say, look, I will not be a victim in my circumstances. I will be a victor in my circumstances. So when your circumstances say, I've got more bills and money, I'm going to end up out in the street, your status needs to say, he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. When your circumstances say, my marriage is broken and I don't know if it can be fixed, your status should say, behold, he's making all things new. When your circumstances say, this sickness is going to take you out, your status needs to say, by his stripes, I am healed. When your circumstances say, you've made too many mistakes in the past, when they say that thing that happened to you is too great, you need to say, I am a new creation. The old has passed away and the new is here. Know that because of who you are in Christ, you are greater, you are stronger, you are bigger, you are better than any of your circumstances. For you are more than a conqueror. For you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. If he is for you, who shall be against you? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And know that all things work out for the good of those who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. 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 You are not victims of your circumstance. You are victors in your circumstance. And because you are victors, you can rejoice always. You can pray continually. You can give thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you in our beloved Christ Jesus. Amen. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Give him some praise. So I'd like to speak real quick to just two sets of people. First, there are some people who don't know this person named Jesus who's able to change your status. Some of you are letting your circumstances define you. Some of you are facing circumstances that you believe are greater than you. But I know a man. I know a man who died on the cross because he loves each of you so much that he wants to change your status. He wants to make you above and not beneath. He wants to make you the head and not the tail. But keep in mind, though, he's a gentleman. He is never going to force himself on you, but he's going to knock on the door of your heart, and he's going to say, I'm here waiting on you. I'm just waiting for you to invite me in. Some of you want to invite him in tonight. Some of you need to invite him in tonight. And I know you guys know who you are because you know he's, because you hear him. You hear him knocking, don't you? You hear him calling to you. He's calling you by name. And he's saying, I love you. I've been waiting for you all this time. You mean the world to me, and I died for you. Come, let me in. Let me in, and I will change your world. I will show you a plan, a purpose, a destiny, unlike you have never imagined. And all I need for you to do is to open that door to your heart. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to let him in so he can show you that your status will trump your circumstances? So if there's anybody in here, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, just shoot your hand up. Okay, here we go. One, Jesus loves you. Two, he would never let you down. Three. I see you back there. God bless you. I see you right there. God bless you. See you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. After I see your hand, you can put your hand down. Sir, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there one more? Is there one more? Is there one more? As Pastor Juergen always says, I'm running out of time. I gotta go. But I know there's one more. I know there's one more. Your heart's pounding. And you probably got that little voice saying, don't do it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. I still think there's one more. Yeah, you hear that voice saying, don't do it. Don't do it. I will let you know that is not Jesus. That is not him. He wants to give you new life. He's waiting. He's waiting. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. So what I'm going to do is, because I am definitely beyond time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask that if everybody could stand, please. And I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask that everybody say this prayer together. Because after you say this prayer, your new life begins and your status changes forever. So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were crucified, that you were buried, but on the third day you rose from the grave. I thank you for this gift you have given me. I repent of my sins, and I receive the new life that you have for me. I declare that you are my Lord, you are my Savior, and I give my life to you. I love you, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to call back up our amazing campus pastor, Pastor Emma.
Awesome. Coming up, let's give it up for Dominic and our incredible other two speakers. How awesome was that? How awesome was that? Let's give him a bigger round of applause than that. Let's give Jesus a round of applause tonight. People encountered the Lord, and I'm telling you, there's no better reason to celebrate than that. Church, we love you. What a powerful night in church. Honestly, I just want to honor all three of you. It isn't easy to get up here and deliver with such clarity and transparency. You all are exceptional humans, and we are so thankful for you. I'm telling you, Dominic Jones, there's anointing on you. I'm telling you. I just want to prophesy over you, Dominic, really quickly. As you're up here, your life was always marked to have influence. You found it in the military, but I'm telling you, there's a new battle the Lord is calling you to. There's a new army that he's asking you to lead, and that exists inside the walls of the church. Dominic, I just declare over your life right now that your season of influence is increasing, that the Lord is stretching out the tent pegs of your life. Do not be surprised at the opportunities that are going to come your way in 2018. Opportunities to share the gospel with people that you never thought you'd ever have a chance to. Dominic, I declare that because of your ability to get up and speak with confidence and boldness, people's lives will be different. I thank you that I see it, that the legacy of what your dad spoke into you is actually going to have fruit that you don't even understand yet. There is going to be people that will hold on to the truth of even your testimony, your dad's testimony, and their life will look different. God, we declare blessing over the Jones family. God, we thank you for the Lee family. We thank you for the Matthews family. God, bless each of those three incredible families, God, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.